It is so wonderful to see the hand of God. I'll tell you, I'm just awesome, just wonderful tonight. As I start tonight, I'd like to mention about a dream that I had several years ago. It was the most awesome one. Some of these songs and everything just really went along with it. And I dreamt that God had come down. And Him and I went up and we were dancing and singing and praising God and doing all this stuff up in the universe, all over the place. It was the most awesome time that I have ever had, I think. And it was just like Him and I, we were dancing, we were just wild, ecstatic, we were just dancing all over the place. And then when we came in, I can remember coming in over one particular country, and, you know, I was reminded as we went by it to pray for it. You know, but it's just, you know, it's just some of the things that God wants to do. I want to ask a question. Do you believe that you have attained all that God has for you in this life now? No, I don't believe any of us could say that. You know, there was a rest that God provided for His people. In the Old Testament, when you read the story about Israel, remember God had brought them, delivered them out of Egypt. He'd done signs and wonders. He did all the plagues, you know, against Egypt. He did everything for them. And yet, whoever the writer of Hebrews is, I think it was Paul, but whoever, was the writer of Hebrews, tells us in chapters 3 and 4, talks about a rest that God has provided for His people. A place where we could cease from doing our own works. And how many of you besides myself has tried to help God out? You sense, you know, that you were supposed to do this and everything, and it wasn't happening. It's like you were trying to make it happen. And you struggled with it. And you fought with it. And said, God, what's going on here? I'm supposed to be seeing this kind of stuff happening in my life. And yet it's not going the way I thought it should. But the writer of Hebrews tells the Hebrew people that rest that was promised to Israel, seeing they didn't attain to it, people that were 20 years old perished and died in the wilderness and was buried there over 40-year periods. And only those that were 20 years younger, whatever, went into the promised land other than Joshua and Caleb, the only ones that were faithful. And so Paul, the writer of Hebrews, said, there remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. There remains a rest for the people of God. And if we can reach this place, if we can believe God for this rest, we can sit back and let God do the work instead of us trying to help Him out or us trying to work it up somehow, you know, do everything we can to make it happen. I failed, and I know that I messed up some people's lives a little bit by some of the things that I proclaimed over their lives. It turned out to be, it was my wish rather than what God was really doing. And so I struggled with that. Well, tonight, we talk about this rest that is out there for the people of God. But tonight I'm going to talk about a little different kind of rest. And I want you to follow along with me. John chapter 1 and verse 32. And I'm going to be reading from the Message Bible. John 1:32. It said, John clinched this witness with this. I watched the Spirit like a dove flying down out of the sky and making himself at home in him. What was happening here? Jesus was being baptized by John the Baptist. And John said, I need to be baptized by you. How come you want me? He said, I need to fulfill all righteousness. So anyway, God had told John that when the person that he sees, the Holy Spirit coming down in the form of a dove and lighting on him, that was going to be the Messiah. And so that's exactly what happened. The Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove and lighted on Jesus. And in the message it says, making himself at home in him. Thus Jesus became the resting place for the Holy Spirit and became empowered by him and totally relied on him to do the will of his Father in heaven. And why do you think he did that? The reason, he was God. He could have taken his authority and just did it in his own power, but he didn't. He totally relied on the Holy Spirit to do the will of God and to accomplish what God wanted him to do. He put his divinity aside. The fact that he was the Son of God, he put it all aside, laid it on the altar, and gave himself to the Holy Spirit and allowed the Holy Spirit to lead him and to guide him and to direct him and to help him live the life that God set up for him to do. So Jesus became a resting place for the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 20, verses 21 and 22, John 20, 21 and 22. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Okay, so what's happening here? When Jesus came, and he was baptized in water, and he was fulfilling the will of God, he was fulfilling the call of God in his life, the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove and lived in him. Now he has turned around now towards the end of his life in the flesh, and he tells these people, as the Father sent me, so I'm sending you out into the world. And then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Why was the Holy Spirit? It was because that was the same power that raised Christ from the dead. That was the same power that Christ used and utilized in his own life. He did not rely on his godness, but he relied on the power of the Holy Spirit. And he sent us out into the world with that same Spirit. That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, if he dwells in you, he shall also quicken your mortal bodies. Hallelujah. It says that in Romans chapter 8. The title of my message tonight is called The Resting Place of God. You know, we talk about, well, we have a resting place. But God also has a resting place. And that resting place is within us. And the question I ask tonight is the resting place of God in danger? Is the resting place of God in danger? And the resting place of God is in your heart. Is that resting place in danger? Is it possible for us to lose our own sight or misplace our love and our faith? Is it possible to do that? Yes, it is possible for us to do that. I think all of us have gone through things in our life. And what It was something really bright, something that was really wonderful that maybe he had, all of a sudden isn't quite so bright. It kind of dulls a little bit, and we kind of get used to just doing things. And we lose our enthusiasm, we lose our love, we lose the compassion, we lose a whole lot of stuff in our lives. Because we're not abiding in Him. And so I ask, is the resting place of God in danger? What are you seeking for? What is your goal in life? What are you looking for? Jesus gave us clear instructions as to what we were to do. The Holy Spirit has come to empower you and to fulfill your calling. Hallelujah. Bruce, thank you for the worship team. Thank you. You minister to me. Everything that you sang up here totally goes along with this message tonight. And I didn't tell them. Nobody, the only one that knows what I was going to preach on was my wife. No one else knew. But the Holy Spirit, when He's in charge, you know, He takes care of those kind of things. What are we seeking for? What are we looking for? The Holy Spirit has come to empower you to fulfill your calling. Do you really believe what He has promised to do through us? You really believe it? He's promised us a whole lot of stuff. And I know we're not really walking in everything that He's promised us. We haven't attained to it yet. I say yet because it's not over yet. Praise God. It's not over yet. Philippians 4:13 from the Message Bible says, whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. That's a powerful message. In other words, whatever I have, it doesn't make any difference whether it's small or great, whether we have just a little or have a whole bunch. It doesn't make any difference at all. What did Jesus, He said He didn't have a place to even to lay His head. He didn't have a house. God provided for Him. So whatever I have, and wherever I am in this globe, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. You aren't who you are because of yourself. You are who you are because God had a plan and a purpose. He built you and created you to do something in this globe. And He's empowered the Holy Spirit to give us the power to be able to do what He has called us to do. Hallelujah. You know, you may say you believe, but what is it that you profess to believe? What is it that you profess to believe? Now, I'm talking hard tonight. I'm talking to myself too. I'm not putting anybody down. But I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your life. Don't necessarily listen to my words as much as to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Because each one of us is different. You may say you believe, but what is it that you profess to believe? Do you say you have the power, you believe in the power of Christ? You say you believe in that? You believe in the power of Christ. But acknowledge that you may not be living up to those beliefs right now. I believe in the power of Christ. But right now, I'm really not living up to those beliefs. Like I say, I'm speaking to you. It's hard things to speak to you. But I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your life tonight. You say that you believe in the power of Christ, but acknowledge that you may not be living up to those beliefs right now. The one thing you must do is to open up your heart. If your beliefs are wrong, then your love is gone. We don't have the love that we once had. We don't have the love that we need to have. if our beliefs are wrong. If you do not love one another, you cannot walk in the light no matter how loud your profession may be. What are we professing? What are we professing? What are we saying? You know, the Bible says a lot of things that we need to profess. We need to talk it out loud. We need to tell them about God. God is powerful in me, hallelujah, to do great and exceeding wonderful things. But if you don't think that your beliefs are wrong, but that you may not be living up to your beliefs, by definition, that's impossible. If we say we believe this, but we're not living up to it, then our beliefs are wrong. And it's an impossible, that's an impossibility. I want to say something. We always live up or down according to our beliefs. We always live up or down according to our beliefs. Again, I'll talk about a dream. Several years ago, I had a dream about getting on board one of these older style trains. You know, they had the bench seats and the windows that you could put down and everything. And I got on with my doctor. That's the way I saw it in the dream. And just as we were getting over, ready to sit down, a voice came out just out of the clear blue sky and said, if you open up the window, it'll allow the poison to be sucked out of your life. And then I woke up. I thought, wow, that's a strange dream. Is there any significance in that for me? God, are you speaking something to me about that? And I go, oh yeah, oh yeah. There was something there for sure. The doctor, okay, first of all, I had to make a decision to board the train. Okay, that's the number one. The doctor that was with me was Dr. Jesus. He's going to be my traveling companion on this journey through life. And the voice that I heard was the voice of the Father. If you open up the windows, it'll suck the poison out of you. In other words, all the bad stuff out of your life. And then the powerful engine that was taking us on this journey through the life was none other than the Holy Spirit. And on this journey, He was going to take me all over all the places where God intended me to be, until we made it, arrived in heaven, in the presence of God. And so, it was like, first of all, I had to make the decision. I'm going on this journey. I'm going with God. I'm going to walk with Him. And as I get on board this train, we sit down, open up the window. It's like, that's an open window to heaven. And all the poison's being sucked out of me, and it's being replaced with good stuff. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit was in charge of the train where we were going to go and take me safely all the way to where my journey was ending. And it may be stops along the way. There may be others that will come on the train that I might be speaking to. There's all kinds of stuff that can happen there, see, through life. As we go through life, God will bring people across our pathway that we're supposed to minister to do things with. And so this journey was one that I chose to do. And the Holy Spirit was leading me, and Jesus was right there by my side. And I had to believe that. And the Holy Spirit was the one that was taking me where I needed to go. Beliefs are the rails which govern our lives. We were talking a little bit about railroading here. Beliefs are the rails which govern our lives. Our trains roll on them whether we like it or not. We're going somewhere in this journey between here and when this physical journey is over. We're all going somewhere. Whether we like it or not, we're on some set of rails. Whatever my beliefs are, that's the set of rails that I'm on. And if God's set of rails is here, and I'm somehow over here because my beliefs are not up here where they belong to me with God, then what track am I on? What track am I on? If your train is not running on the set of rails which you claim are yours, it is because you have diverted your train to another set of rails. And these now have become your true beliefs. Does that make sense? These rails here now, I'm saying this, but I'm really living this. So these beliefs now, even though I may claim these beliefs, but where I'm at here now on this set of tracks, that's what my real beliefs are. And that's the direction I'm headed. So these are your true beliefs now, not the rails that you left. Unless you first understand this, you will never find what you seek. What are you seeking? What are you looking for? What are your hopes? What are your aspirations? I got some of the stuff out of this from reading a book recently. Very powerful book. And I was just, the Holy Spirit just touched my life on it and said, you know, it really spoke into my life. And it gave me, you know, the impetus for this message. Unless you first understand this on the rails, you'll never find what you seek. If you say that I believe but do not follow, then you do not believe at all. What does James say? Chapter 1. If we ask for something, we have to believe that we receive them. And the word is not supposed to be just something that we see and glimpse. We must become doers of the word. And if we're not doers of the word, then we're missing out. If we're not doing what the Word tells us to do, we're on the wrong tracks. We're on the wrong tracks. This is the greatest misconception in Christianity today, that what you once believed, you will always believe. Remember a time when you first got saved? Remember the joy that was there? Remember the enthusiasm you had? Remember all the good things about that? And boy, I'm going with God. I'm not failing. I'm going, you know. And you were enthusiastic about it and everything. And then things kind of dimmed as life went on. And it kind of came more commonplace. And pretty soon you were relying, instead of on the power of God, you were relying maybe on your own strength. Because God has always been with me here, so He's surely got to be with me here. I'm sure all of us has gone through this kind of experience. Anyway, the greatest misconception is that what you once believed, you'll always believe. That to profess is the same as to believe. You believe that? Profess is the same as you believe? Not true. Not true. That a profession made 20 years ago somehow trumps what you really believe today. Or to profess something now without the belief to back it up is useless. It's dead. We can profess all we want, but if we don't believe it, it's valueless to us. It's not going to accomplish anything in our life. I don't know about you, but I want something real. I remember one time hearing a testimony. It was an Indian, and he went up. He wanted to get filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, I don't want to get filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He said, I want to get filled with the Holy Spirit. He says, praise the Lord. That's what he wanted. He wanted the real McCoy. None of this fake stuff. And that's what we need in our lives. Hallelujah. And I believe that God has something greater than we could ever imagine in store for us if we will make sure we're on the right track and actually believe what He says. what we believe. In reality, most people who call themselves Christians do not believe in Christ at all. They're serving a Jesus that doesn't exist. They're serving a Jesus that they've kind of twisted their lifestyle around a little bit, and they're proclaiming something that's not really true. Because real truth isn't here. Real truth is in here. And if we kind of twist it around to accommodate ourselves or our desires or our whatever, then we're not living the real McCoy. And we're not really associated with Christ. So in reality, most people who call themselves Christians do not believe in Christ at all. Their train is not on His tracks. No, they're doing their own things. Why? Because they're not really willing to yield themselves. You see, our problem is that we need to learn to yield ourselves. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? Help me to do what I'm supposed to do. Help me to get into God's presence. Help me to get a hold of Him so that something will happen in my life. Where are your rails taking you? What is their destination? We're on these rails. We're thinking they're up here, but we're on another trail. We're claiming this up here, but we're down here on this. Where does that track end up? That's the thing. We don't know where it's ending up. We don't know where that's ending up. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to end up somewhere that I don't really, I'll be sorry for in the end. To believe in Christ is to follow Him. To be His apprentice with full intentions of living like He lived. In His footsteps. Casting all aside for the sake of the treasure. Remember the story in the Bible? Remember the man that found the treasure in the field? And he covered it up and went and sold everything he had to buy that field so he could have that treasure. He gave it all away so that he could have that treasure. There's a treasure waiting for you and I. Treasure of God's presence, God's power in our lives. Hallelujah. Are we willing to get rid of anything that's hindering us to be able to get that treasure? But one of the things that's required is to face the truth about yourselves. You cannot truly surrender what you don't possess. If I don't have a dollar bill and somebody comes up and asks a dollar bill, I can't give them a dollar bill. I can't surrender a dollar bill to them if I don't have a dollar bill to surrender to them. And so, how can I surrender something to God unless I know what I'm really surrendering? How do I know what I can? We have to, first of all, recognize what we possess. And the first thing we must profess is the truth about myself. That I have allowed my beliefs to drift. You need to face that reality. You can't get anywhere without facing that reality. That's truth. Are you ready to face that? This truth must reach beyond your ears and beyond your memory and sink into your spirit, or nothing else will matter. The Bible says, blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Very few really believe these. And very few even really intend to follow this path. It's too narrow for me. It's a narrow path. Remember, straight is the gate, straight is the way, narrow is the path, everything that leads to life eternal. And few there be that find it. Not only that, but there's few that really want to find it, or few that really want to walk it, or are willing to walk it. It's a narrow way. I can remember we got saved years ago. There was a lot of things. They preached a whole lot stronger than what we do today on a lot of things. I mean, you didn't do a whole lot of stuff. You didn't go to movies. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. You know, you didn't do the other thing. It's not a bunch of don'ts, but it's not no place in your life. We were enthusiastic about God.
Hallelujah.
So there's very few that ever really intend to follow this path. And the kingdom of heaven is not about eating and drinking or any other good gift that God might give us. It's about righteousness, peace, and joy, and love that will turn our heart into a dynamo for Christ. That's what it's all about. And you must remember that the spiritual life is, first of all, it's life. It's just not something you talk about. It's not something you put on a piece of paper. The spiritual life is life. It's something to be lived. And if you're not living it, then you're missing out. If it's just some theory up here that you kind of, yeah, I believe in that, sounds good. But if I'm not willing to walk it, then where are you? What tracks are you on? But like all other life, it too can grow sick and die, even uprooted from its, when it's uprooted from its proper elements. You know, we're born physically. We don't just lay there in our beds. We eat, we sleep, we cry out, we fill our diapers. And that needs to be changed. And soon we're crawling, and then eventually start walking. Our spiritual man must also grow up. He must grow up. John 15, verses 5 to 8. This is from the Message Bible also. John 15, 5 to 8. I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation, intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown in the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. And this is how my Father shows who He is. When you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples. So God's looking for us to mature. It's a growth. It's a process. And no, we're not perfect yet. But we're headed that direction. Hallelujah. And do you know what? Going to church and doing a few good things hardly counts as walking in the kingdom. That make sense? Going to church and doing a few good things hardly counts as walking in the kingdom. So we must rediscover or find your place in the kingdom. It's a struggle for most men to even believe in the kingdom. And when they do, they spend years hobbling along, confused about what they really believe. They're confused. Why? Because they're not entering into a life of intimate relationship with the lover of their soul. That's how you go places. That's how things happen. Like a man who looks in the mirror and walks away and forgets what manner of man he is. You know, we have the Word of God. We're supposed to look into it, and that's supposed to, you know, we see ourselves in there. Oh, I don't measure up to this. I need to do something. And we do that. So, you don't have to, we have a song that's a little bit like this. You don't have to walk 1,000 miles or climb the highest mountain to find your faith. You only need to walk the 50 centimeters between your mind and your heart. 50 centimeters, all you have to do. You don't have to go 1,000 miles. You don't have to climb Mount Everest or anything else. It takes an act of your will. I am going to do this. I am going to seek God. I am going to find a deeper relationship than I've ever had before. I am headed that way. Hallelujah. James 1, verses 6 to 8. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the winds. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And you can run, like Elijah did, ran down from the mountain and through the kingdom, if you yield. if you yield. But He must be allowed to sweep you off your feet. Are you ready to be swept off your feet by the love of Christ? Are you ready to be swept off your feet and to get into a place of joy and power and life like you've never experienced before? I'm encouraging you to pursue God. Pursue Him. You have no idea of the breathtaking power or joy that awaits yourself. Waits you there. You must enthrall your mind with God's. You want to know how to rediscover the kind of belief you once had or the belief you wish you had? Enthrall your mind with a ravishing vision of God. Find the pearl that is hidden. Waste your life for the treasure. This extravagant love for Christ. Swim in His ocean. Breathe His water. Galatians 2, verses 18 through 21. It's also from the Message Bible. This is Paul talking to the Galatians. I like, this is down to earth. If I was trying to be good, I would be rebuilding the same old barn I tore down. I'd be rebuilding the same old barn I tore down if I was trying to be good. I would be acting as a charlatan. What actually took place is this. I tried keeping the rules and working my head off to please God. And it didn't work. So I quit being, quote unquote, lawman. 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 You get it? I quit being a lawman so I could be God's man. Christ's life showed me how, enabled me to do it. I identified myself completely with Him. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion. And I am no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. The life that you see me living is not mine, but it is lived by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And I am not going to go back on that. That was Paul's statement. I am not going to go back on that. I'm headed. This is the way I'm headed. Forgetting all those things which are behind. I'm pressing on. I'm headed for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3, chapter 3, verses 8 through 16. Yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Jesus Christ as my Master, first Him, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. Dog dung. How's that sound? Dog dung. Everything that I thought I had going for me, it's like dog dung. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by Him. I didn't want some petty, inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules when I could get the robust kind that comes from trusting Christ. God's righteousness. And I gave up all that inferior stuff so I could know Christ personally, experience His resurrection power, be a partner in His suffering, and go all the way with Him to death itself. If there was any way to get in on the resurrection of the dead, I wanted to do it. I'm not saying that I have this all together, but I'm well on my way. Reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. And friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this. But I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. So let's keep focused on that goal. those of us who want everything God has for us. And if any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. Hallelujah. That's what we want to do. So let's look at the question again. Is the resting place of God in danger? Are we on the right track? The resting place of God is in your heart. Is that resting place in danger? Have we lost our sight or misplaced our love and our faith? Is Christ the focus of our life? Several years ago, there was a movie that was called The Passion of the Christ. Remember that one? And you might wonder why it was called that. It had some gruesome scenes that portrayed the crucifixion probably closer to any other movie that I've ever seen out there. It brings to mind Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted the bloodshed striving against sin. It's quite a scripture. Hebrews 2:10. For it is fitting of him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. And Jesus went through the suffering. He went through the suffering. Sufferings that I hope we'll never have to go through like that. He went through them, and he went through it with joy. Why? Because of what was going to happen in the future. Bringing many sons to glory. Hallelujah. And remember this. Something that we kind of forget about sometimes. We want the power, man. We want the glory of God. Hallelujah. We want the Holy Spirit to work in us, God. Let's go do things for you. What happened when Jesus was baptized with the Holy Spirit? When the Holy Spirit came down like a dove and dwelt in him. Let's look at that a little bit. Matthew 4:1. Matthew 4:1. This is in the Amplified Bible. Then Jesus was led or guided by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness or desert to be tempted, tested, and tried by the devil. So we think, okay, Lord, yeah, pour out your Spirit on me. Pour out your Spirit on me. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. Wonderful experience. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Glorious. What happened to Jesus? First thing, the Spirit took him into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. Are we any different than Jesus in that sense? We think everything, man, I can feel the Holy Spirit, man. That's it, man. That's power, man. I'll be able to step right into that and do something. Well, the very first thing that happened is Jesus was led into the wilderness. And Mark chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, put it even a little bit more emphatic. It says, immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Drove him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. But then look what happened. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. He got filled with the Holy Spirit. He was led into the wilderness, drove into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he came out of that experience, he returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And news of him went throughout all the surrounding region. You know, just like Jesus, when we have a deep relationship with the Holy Spirit, then we must also go through the tests before we're ready for the power. I think all of us realize that. We've been preached in this place before. There's a test that comes. God's really wanting to find out how much do we really, really want what we got hold of? Are we really willing to do what he asks us to do? Are we willing to be like Peter, willing to step out of the boat and walk on the water? Are we willing to do that? You know, there's a lot of more walking on the water than just literal water that we get out of. There's things in our life that we have to get. We have to trust the Holy Spirit. Trust the Holy Spirit. John 17, verses 4 and 5. John 17, 4 and 5. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself and with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Are you going to do the work that God has called you to? Jesus did. And he finished it. He finished it. Now, I don't believe any of us will really complete the work of God like Jesus did. We're flesh and blood. But God has some things that he wants us to do. And even Paul, you know, wrestled with that. But he was headed the right direction. He was headed that way. He's going to do everything in his power. Trusting the power of God to accomplish it. Are you doing the work that God has called you to do? Are you headed that direction? A lot of times we don't know the path completely. But the Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light to my path. It shines out so far. When we walk out there, the light shines a little further. If we stay on that path and stay in God's Word and everything, we're going to make it. Hallelujah. And he's going to take us through to victory. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. And may the God of peace himself, this is the Amplified Bible, may the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through, separate you from profane things, make you pure and holy, consecrated to God. And may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved, sound, and complete, and found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Faithful is he who is calling you to himself, and utterly trustworthy, and he will also do it, fulfill his call by hallowing and keeping you. So I ask again, is the resting place of God in danger? Are you on the right track? Are you proclaiming something that we're not doing? Are you proclaiming something that we're not doing? It's time, if your beliefs are wrong, one of the things, are we fooling ourselves? We don't want to find out at the end of the tract this proclamation that Jesus made in Matthew 7:23. Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye who practice lawlessness. We want to be on the right track. We want to be on the right track. I want Jesus to know me. I don't know about you. I want him to know me. I want him to... I like that song. He knows your name. He knows your every thought. You know, you can't hide anything from him. I want him to know me. I want the devil to know me. I want him to know that God's power in me is a threat to him. I want him to know that. And I don't want to face that at the end. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. If your beliefs are wrong, then you need to face the truth and do something about it. But don't put it off until it's too late. What Christ wants from us is to travel on His rails and have a dynamic love relationship with Him that will bring us joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. How? By entering into a love relationship with Him like we've never had before. By entering into a love relationship with Him. And remember, He who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6. So let's run like Paul, laying aside our inferior, useless stuff and give our all to Christ. Is the resting place of God in danger? Father, touch all of our hearts tonight. Holy Spirit, work in our lives. I don't know about the rest, but Lord, I give myself to You, Lord. I'm headed towards You. Lord, my eye is on You. You said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the Father. Lord, I love You, I praise You, I worship You. Lead me, Lord, into a deeper relationship with You. Relationship that never had that deeper relationship before. Lord, I thank You, I praise You for the moving of Your Spirit that You've done in this place, Lord, and in our lives, Lord. I thank You for every one of these brothers and sisters out here. God, that You have worked in their hearts, Lord. You brought us together, even like Esther, for such a time as this. And Lord, we desire to do Your will. We desire to do Your work. But mostly, Lord, we desire You. You're the only thing that matters. Nothing else is more important than knowing You and the power of Your resurrection and the fellowship of Your suffering. Hallelujah. Lord, help us, I pray, to get there. Help us, Lord, to give our all. Help us to get rid of the junk, Lord, and buy that treasure. Buy that field, Lord. Have that treasure, Lord, in our possession. Hallelujah. Lord, I just commit each one into Your hands tonight. And I pray that You'll just accomplish Your will and Your purpose, O God. And I give You thanks and praise. Thank You for what You're doing, Lord. We just commit each one into You right now. In Jesus' name, amen.